Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? Maybe curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast. And your host, Michael Michelini.
Welcome, everybody, to China Business Cast, episode number 21. So today we have Ali Mona. She is the host of the Limitless Lawai podcast, which is helping all kinds of expats coming to China or been here for many years get settled in and learn from other expats coming through. So I was up in Shanghai, got to finally meet her. She's awesome. She's got a lot of great energy, and she shares what she's learned from all of her guests and gives us some pointers if we're just moving to China or kind of having some of these quote-unquote China days. So let's listen in. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to a China Business Cast. We are here in Shanghai, China, and I'm really, really excited that I got to meet Ali Mona from Limitless Lawai podcast. Thanks for being here, Ali.
Oh, I'm super excited. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, we've been just catching up on podcast talks and internet marketing. So it's been really great to catch up. And I'm excited for this interview. So I was on your show a while ago, and I'm glad to exchange back one with you. Maybe first, I'm really curious to hear your story, your China story. Maybe quickly.
Sure. So my first time in China was in 2004, and I came as a student. So I spent 1 year at Beida studying Chinese. And truth be told, I had a really rough year. I actually left that year saying I'm never coming back. And I'll get into some of those pieces later, I think. But went home and graduated from university and couldn't find work. And I had a bit of a China chip on my shoulder, I think. And that's not true. I could find work, but it was selling office equipment business to business. And I thought, I have been in China. I speak Chinese. Like, that's not good enough for me. So I came back and went up to Dongbei. I was in Liaoning province for a year, 2 years, actually. I worked for PetroChina for 2 years, first as an English instructor. And then there were no other Lawai in my little city of a million people. So my Chinese got good enough to actually be an interpreter for them. And then my husband, who I met in 2004 in Beijing, he was also a foreign exchange student. He and I married in 2008 and then moved to Shanghai.
That's great. I'm glad. I'm sure there's tons and tons more details. Actually, I don't know if you know, my wife's from Shenyang.
Oh, Shenyang. Say,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was there, been there once, probably a lot more in the future. So Limitless Lawai has been a great asset for the Chinese community of expats here. Maybe you can just give us some ideas of what, you know, how that came to be.
Sure. So Limitless Lawai is first and foremost a podcast. And, you know, I've worked now in Shanghai for 7 years, and I've always been expat facing. So always in sales and marketing, first at a nonprofit community center in Shanghai, and then at an international school, Concordia International School. And my husband and I really have a heart for the expats. I know it sounds silly to move to China and not be super integrated into the local community, but my husband doesn't speak much Chinese. And so our focus has really been on supporting the expat community. And so last summer, we didn't go home on home leave like we usually did. And we moved into a first floor apartment, bought a grill, and just had weekly barbecues and met loads of new people. You know, no one had told them to not come to Shanghai in the middle of, you know, the summer when it's hot and no one's around and it's miserable sometimes if you're not prepared, right? So you met loads of new people and they were asking a lot of the same questions that Ron and I asked 7 years ago when we moved to Shanghai first. And we thought, there might be a business opportunity there. You know, even in the 7 years that we've been in Shanghai, the resources for English-speaking expats has gotten way better. But clearly there was still a gap in between the time when someone accepted an offer and actually came. And a lot of times, what our research found was that that's filled with, you know, selling the house and selling the car and trying to wrap up work and trying to get the kids through school. But it's not forward facing on the impending journey to China. And so people get here and they have a high for however long, and then they have a really low dip typically. And what we wanted to do was get people to success faster by really giving them a positive spoken living word about what life is really like here.
That's great. I've been sending some people to you too. I mean, I wish that existed when I came. I came a little bit later in 2007. And yeah, it's true. Like, after, and I me as an expat here, I feel like I repeat myself over and over and over. So it's great that you're helping people like us when they're coming here. And so how did it get started? You know, I remember when it launched in the end of last year, and maybe give us some ideas of the birth of Limitless Lawai.
Sure. So that was the end of the summer, basically, when we went home, Ron and I went home for 10 days. For a conference. And we kind of came out of that thinking, you know, I think that we should go for Limitless. We didn't quite know all the details yet, but I wasn't working at a regular company. I had retired, I guess, about a year and a half prior, retired at the age of 30. Woo-hoo! Because I wanted more time and more freedom to be with my two daughters. We have a 3- and a 4-year-old now. And, you know, at the end, so maybe the fall season when it started, I built the brand. Thankfully, I was a brand manager at the school, so I knew how to do that. I built the website. I also built their website, so I knew how to do that. I started interviewing people, and really, it was just a business plan on a shelf for a really long time until I got the guts to start asking my first guests. And Ron and I, you know, when you've been in Shanghai for 7 years, you're kind of an old timer, and we know lots of people just kind of through our work. But I didn't want it to be a podcast of just the people that we knew. I really wanted to broaden it outside of Shanghai and get into all the other cities in China. So my first kind of big step of faith was reaching out to a CEO that I had found on LinkedIn. And it's a miracle. If you search China CEO on LinkedIn, you'll get 220,000 hits. So what we did was started to kind of comb through LinkedIn and find people who were really positive looking, a nice big smile on their face, which sounds silly now, but the brand, the hallmark of Limitless is positivity. There's a lot of negative media about China, and we now love living in China. For our girls, it's an incredible opportunity, and we really wanted to showcase some of the amazing things about living here as expats. So found positive people, found people with really neat experience, you know, looked through some of their background, and then sent out some, you know, will you interview with us? This is what we're doing. And those were really trying times because we didn't have a product. I mean, I didn't even have a website up. So a lot of it was just talking through, this is our vision. This is what the gap that we want to fill. This is what we want to do. And I will never forget the moment when our very first CEO said, oh my word, absolutely. It wasn't even a, yeah, sure, I'll help you out. It was exactly what you said. I wish I had had this 10 years ago when we moved here. When can I interview? I remember jumping up and down and being like, oh no. Part of it was like, oh, now I have to do this. It's no longer a business plan off the shelf. So I started, interviewing in October. And one of my guests at that time was also a guy down from Shenzhen, Gary. And he said, when are you launching? And I was like, oh, we're going to launch in March of 2015. And he challenged me. He said, why? Launch now. Ship now. You have content that people need. And, you know, I'm super type A. I like to be super planned out. And I wanted, you know, 40 episodes in the bag, all routed before we launched. And I was really encouraged and really challenged by that. So we launched December 1 of last year and put out 5 podcasts a week for about the first 3 months maybe. And then we just launched episode 102 today. So it's been an incredible journey.
It's a good story about Gary. That's cool. I didn't know. He also actually wanted to tell me about your show and he was interviewed there early on. And that's he's really active in the community. And shout out to Skill Nuggets for Gary. Check that one out, guys. So great. I'm glad you listened to him. And I always try to tell people too, just ship, put stuff on there. Cause you know, you never really know what people are going to think until it's actually online. So I'm happy for that. And it's been going really well. I think, at least from what I see. So how was it with your first listeners and you know, feedback and things like that?
Well, quite interestingly, we had 2 different types of reactions. Those people who found us from outside of the country, outside of China, were like, wow, great podcast, great content. We want more, which was super encouraging. And right now we've had over 22,000 downloads in 80 nations. So it actually went more global, quicker than I thought humanly possible. But what that showed us was that people are really hungry for the content and they are looking for it. The reaction from friends of ours was, hey, Allie, I checked out Limitless Lawai and it's actually pretty good. You know, and they don't know me as a podcast host. I wasn't a podcast host, you know, and actually it was probably maybe around episode 50 that a friend of mine, a new friend of mine had said, hey, what do you do, Allie? And it kind of slipped out. Oh, I'm a podcast host. And it was like, whoa, I just owned it. Because before that, people would be like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, I own a company and I talk to people and I do this, you know, but really my first 25 shows were really hard for me to listen to. And then finally it was like, that's just how you sound. Like, just get over it.
That's true. You know? I guess podcaster, listening to my own voice is, I'm still not really used to it.
But, yeah.
But yeah, that's great. I think also in China, the whole idea of I think you were like one of the first podcasts I know here, and it's still a new thing. And yeah, for expats, I feel like we're a little bit in the dark ages in China with the internet or something. People are still a little bit old fashioned with like face-to-face meetings and meetups, but
it's true. You know, for maybe about the first, maybe 3 months, for every download, we had one web visit because I was putting out really comprehensive show notes pages. And so I found that people were reading the show notes page. And just to your point, absolutely, people were, I guess, a little iffy about podcasts. So it really does take a lot of education and showing them the benefit of, oh my gosh, you could walk the dog, you could do the dishes, you can get on the metro. You know, the Limitless listener is a very busy expat. You know, we have things to do. So that's the reason that I didn't do video, is because who has time to sit and watch a 20-minute video? That's not the product. I want to fill people with motivation and empowerment and connection on the go, which is why I chose podcasting in the first place.
Yeah, I agree both as a podcaster myself and as a listener. I mean, I know you can put it on YouTube and watch, like, we could probably record this with a camera and have two heads talking for 20-30 minutes, but I like audio too, so it's great. It's a great channel to really resonate and connect with people. So of course I've been following along with your shows, and you know, I remember one about a few now you've done about repatriating, right? So it's, I don't know if I want to say that's a trend, but there's definitely been, you know, maturing as people living in China, working in China as expats, but and going back to their home country, which is a little bit sad, but it's something that happens. What are what are some trends that you're seeing with your show, and what's happening with the expatriates here?
Sure, that's a really, really good question. And, you know, I've been in China a decade. We have no plans on going home, but for most people, this is just a couple year stint. So repatriation is kind of an inevitable part of the process. It's hard. It will always be hard unless you hate your time abroad, which some people don't love living in China. Then they go home and they're happy. But for 99% of the people, it's a very, very difficult process. So in terms of resources for going home, check out a couple of the ones that we have. They're actually some of the highest ranking podcasts because there's such little content on what it's like. So what I do is I interview people 3 months into the process, 6 months, 9 months, a year, to really give people who are on this side of the repatriation process something to look forward to and some strategies for coping later. But also, you know, check out what your schools have to offer. If you have kids in international schools, a lot of the counselors will talk to the kids and to parents about what to expect. But one of the things that's not talked about often is being left behind. You know, I've been now, like I said, in Shanghai for 7 years, and every year it's hard. You lose people. And Ron and I liken being an expat in China like a military base. You know, you become fast friends and very quickly you become family. And so it's like saying bye to family every year. And from our end, being kind of the long-termers, it's really easy and really tempting to say, you know what? I just can't take any more pain. I can't take any more heartache. I'm just not going to go deep with people anymore. Or I'm only going to hang out with people who are lifers like me. But there's a couple challenges with that. One, you gain so much wisdom and tips and tricks and knowledge being in China, even a year, you know, let alone a decade or 2 decades, like some of our friends have been here. And there, I believe that there's a responsibility to help pass that down. So if you just stockade yourself in your home and don't ever connect with new people, they really miss out and you miss out on the ability to help them. But the other reason is for my kids. My kids will live as expats. They will be third culture kids. They already are. They speak better Chinese than they do English. And their friends are going to leave. And so if I don't learn coping strategies, I will not be able to coach them through leaving. So leaving is an inevitable part of the process, but it's manageable with help.
Great answer. And I feel a little bit guilty now because I've been kind of feeling like I should focus on the lifers, because it is a little bit exhausting to always see a new expat coming in, and you get this habit of thinking they're not going to last that long, and I'm going to build this relationship, and then it might not really go anywhere. I don't want to sound cold, but yeah, I mean, but maybe we can help some of these people stay, become lifers. Maybe what are some tips? You know, of course we have your whole show, all your series, but maybe some quick tips for newcomers to China.
Yeah. So we've done about 102 podcasts, like I said before. Around the first 80 are story podcasts. So I interview executives and stay-at-home moms and dads and entrepreneurs like yourself and Gary and educators. And then, of course, the repatriation. And the focus of those podcasts was really to say, you know, how'd you get here? What's a typical day like? Give us some tips, some tricks, some hurdles to avoid, and really to help our listeners to accelerate success faster. Then I listened to loads of feedback from my guests, and the market that I was missing were the lifers, you know? And so then I did a little bit of a pivot with content, and now I'm going a lot of topical podcasts. But that being said, there's about 40 hours of what life is like. And for any of those categories, loads of tips and tricks to accelerate faster and a lot of resources. So one of my favorite questions to ask was, what is one app or resource you can't live without? Well, guys, if you're in your home country and you're moving over here, download it, check it out and see what's available. I think another piece of advice is to connect immediately when you get here. Some people, and especially if you didn't want to come in the first place, if you're tagging along with a spouse who got work, or if you're an older kid and you didn't want to leave your friends, it's really important to connect and connect immediately, but to connect wisely. I advise people to avoid negativity like the plague. And if you get into the wrong crowd of people, it'll be much harder for you to enjoy your time in China faster. The third thing is to avoid being overcommitted. Man, in a city like Shanghai, you could get into so many groups. You can volunteer every hour of your day. You could pour into the lives of orphans and widows and, I mean, everybody. Commit your time, but make sure that there's time for you and time to take care of your family. And make sure, again, that your home is your haven. You know, if your spouse is working, they're in an entirely new environment. Their job is stressful. And so you must, in order to maintain kind of peace in your home, create an environment for your family that is home-like. You know, make those home meals. Don't let Ai do all the cooking and cleaning. You know, maintain some of your own identity when you get here. And I think that you will get to success faster.
Yeah, I'm just nodding my head up and down heavily as you're talking, because I really agree. And especially Shanghai, I'm going to be here only a week, and I know it's going to be exhausting. I've barely even started because there's just so much happening here and so many meetups and events and networking, and which is great. But it's, like you said, focus maybe on a theme or a topic or a group that you're interested in.
I just focused a lot on the supporting spouse. But if you're the spouse here and the working spouse, and you're trying to acclimate to a new work environment, my biggest advice is to just kind of throw away every Western conception, every preconceived notion of how business should be done. And listen to your people and take time to observe. A lot of times we call them tornado or tsunami leaders. And they come in and they try to whip a company into shape. And really what that does is all of the employees will just sit and they'll just wait you out, because eventually you're going to leave. Mike is shaking his head. So you know, your employees are going to wait you out, because someone else is going to come in like they did before, just like you did, and they're going to have to change again. So listen to your people, take time, meet their needs, and they'll be much more apt to follow you.
I think that ties into my next question pretty nicely. At the beginning of the last point, you were talking about stick with positive people. You know, I don't know where these people, how they live, but there's these expats that are here that don't want to be here. I don't know why they're staying here, because I don't think they have to. I don't think anybody's forcing them to stay here, but there's definitely I don't want to say a big, but there's definitely a noticeable group of expats that are just miserable. And maybe they're like you just said, these, maybe I was somewhat like that when I first came here, because I'm pretty maybe type A push. You know, I try to push and push things forward. And in China, I think, like you said, you got to kind of adapt.
Yeah.
And especially with staff, because I was trying to push my Chinese staff to listen to me and be Western and right. Western management. And maybe that's why they're so negative. But kind of getting to my question is, how do you get, you know, I guess you can just avoid these people or these times. But I think even the most positive people have those I'm sick of China days. So what do you recommend for those times.
Yeah. I had a really good friend, Chrissy Remsburg, who she had a Chinese roommate for a bit. And they would go back and forth about, you know, it's too hot in here. The air's on too high or it's too cold. And Chrissy said to her, listen, out there is China. In here is America. And she was very intentional about keeping her home her haven, like I mentioned before. I think that's number one. For the working spouse or for the stay-at-home spouse, you know, one of the biggest things I could say is just kind of lift your eyes to the horizon and gain a little bit of perspective. Bad days happen anywhere in the world. And so Victoria Pleckenpole, also now down in Shenzhen, she was a guest on our show, and she said, the first question I ask when I'm having a bad day, is it a China bad day or is it just a bad day? Because China gets the rap and for bad days when this could happen anywhere in the world. So if you first start there, you're entitled to bad days. Don't take it out on your family. Don't take it out at work. Work through it. A lot of times I get on a bus and I just put down all of my electronics and I just look around China. And if you really look around you, you will see joy in the people who are cleaning the streets. You will see joy in the people who are pushing around massive garbage dumpsters. You will see joy in the craziest places where you personally, as a Westerner, I would never be joyful if that was my world. And a lot of times, if you just let that soak in, I think that it really helps me to just kind of gain perspective on a bad day.
True. And I think another one is those dancing older women on the street.
No shame.
Or the old Chinese man on the gym, the playscapes or something. It's true. Like Chinese people, you know, you can get frustrated, but like maybe it's the patience, like you said, with the staff, mm-hmm. like they will wait you out, right? I guess maybe it's the culture, but they're just more patient, I feel, natural than us.
5,000 years of history. Yeah. They'll just wait it out. Yeah. And it's a coping mechanism, really, I think. And who can blame them?
Yeah, because I think, you know, us as a foreigner here, we're like, why is it like this? And usually the Chinese person is just
chill.
Yeah.
Cool as a cucumber, man. Why get upset? That's what my eye would say all the time. It's going to be bad for your health. Stop being so stressed out. And that's actually true. Now I'm all about that. But in the beginning, I'd be like, but I want to make it happen. Make it happen.
Yeah. I guess it's just a little bit of transition time for us. But a little bit more about your journey. You know, I think we always like to learn from mistakes or, you know, some ups and downs that we've been through in business. Maybe you can give us some fun stories.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a bazillion stories. So I'll choose a couple. I think let's go back to Beijing in the year that I hated, in the year that I never, ever thought I'd come back. And that was 10 years ago. So clearly the problem back then was me. The problem was not Beijing. Where I grew up, it was small town, zero diversity. I went to school in the middle of Pennsylvania, small town, very little diversity. And so when I came to China and all of a sudden I was being stared at and people didn't understand me, even though I had been learning Chinese for 2 years. Remember my China chip? I thought I was awesome at Chinese. So I was at Beida for a year. And outside one of the gates, about maybe a couple kilometers down the road, was a subway stop called Wudaoko. I get into a cat and get into everyone knows Wudaoko. If you were in Beijing, you know Wudaoko, and you probably know Propaganda, you know, which is probably still there. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So I get into a cab and I say Wudaoko, or at least I thought I said Wudaoko. And the taxi driver didn't understand me. So I tried every tone combination I possibly could. Wudaoko, Wudaoko, Koko. Well, you know, every single one, nothing. And so finally I get out a pen and a paper and I'm so frustrated. I have learned Chinese for 3 years at this point. And write down Wudaoko. And he's like, ah, Wudaoko, of course. And I was like, that's what I've been doing. So part of it was I couldn't get over my own insecurity. I didn't, you know, because I couldn't understand anybody, I thought everyone was talking about me. And they weren't. Who cares? And even if they were, who cares? You know, I just, my insecurities really decelerated my success in China. So if I could give you guys one tip as listeners, and if you're here and you're moving, just get over yourself. You know, those old ladies in the park, they're not insecure. The guy who's got his leg halfway up that thing on the park doing whatever he's doing, he doesn't care that you're watching him,
yep.
You know? And so when they watch you, watch back, be curious. Who knows? You can maybe even learn something.
Exactly. I think by being outside of your home country, your element, you know, you have to learn to adapt and appreciate the things around you. So it's really great. Okay. And then on the business side, you know, what are some lessons you've learned?
So I'm still quite new. Maybe I'm not even a year into it. But I think the biggest mistake that I made was not hiring somebody to do post-production sooner. So about my first 70 or 80 episodes, I did everything. I cut them. I interviewed, obviously. And it slowed my success, I think. And here's why. Really, I didn't have any money to start the business. Nobody came in and no venture capitalist came in and tossed mine on the table. It was just my time. Now, thankfully, podcasting is not expensive. It's just expensive in time. And so to give you an idea, a 30-minute episode used to take about 5 hours of my time. Well, that gets expensive when you're doing five a week. And I couldn't grow the business. Now, I am grateful for that experience because when I brought in Tim, who is my incredible sound engineer in Germany, I could speak to him rather intelligently about what I needed, what I wanted. I had that experience in order to do that. But I probably had enough experience at episode 25 to do that. So my encouragement to listeners, you know, you might not be in the podcast business, but whatever your core business is, you need to hold on to that. And you need to trust that somebody can come alongside of you to do the other piece. The other piece of me not wanting to hire somebody, let alone the money, was I didn't think anybody could do it as good as me. And oh my gosh, I am like a one on a scale of Tim's 10, you know? And so the idea that I wanted to hold on to that final product and not release it really did hold me back, I think.
True. I think that that's definitely, I think, a popular issue a lot of us have as entrepreneurs is mm-hmm. we think that we do it the best and we don't want to let go of it. I won't say control, but perfectionism and thinking that's what we need, that's what we're good at. But yeah, I'm glad you did it because your show is doing really great. So, you know, getting towards the end here, maybe some positive things that are happening now and the next steps for Limitless?
Yeah. So my monetization model is with advertising, sponsorship. So very typical podcast, 15-second pre-roll before the interview starts and a 60-second mid-roll in the middle. And I was targeting schools and medical facilities and anyone who really wants to get into the ear of the expat listener. So I didn't intend to make any money probably until about 6 or 7 months in. I really wasn't comfortable connecting with sponsors. And remember, it's just me. I was a one-man team putting out a lot of content. And so I didn't have time to be sitting with sponsors. And when you don't have a product and when you only have 5,000 downloads, it takes 5, 6, 7 meetings to go in and to sit with someone who, one, is not familiar with podcasting. You know. And so what I said in the beginning was, I'm going to wait until about 10,000 downloads to approach people. Well, just around 10,000, I had two companies approach me. And one was an international school, Concordia, and they said, hey, listen, we're really focusing on a blue ocean strategy. We want everyone in the world to know about Concordia and the high quality education that's available here. We want to be an exclusive Shanghai education sponsor of Limitless Laowai. And I said, I don't do exclusive. You know, from my old training at the community center, you had to be unbiased, nonpartisan. And I was really challenged by a couple good friends and mentors about my reasonings for not wanting to go exclusive. And what it boiled down to after lots and lots and lots of thinking was by going exclusive, one, it's working with one sponsor and making sure that they're super happy, as opposed to having to reach out to 16 schools here. Secondly, my listeners don't come to me to learn which services they should be going to. It helps because the services that I do have on the podcast are always vetted and always super good. But the money, what I could do to serve the listener with that amount of money, you know, a better website, better content, was worth taking on an exclusive sponsor in a category. So I'm actually quite pleased with the way that that turned out, even though it was never in my original business plan to go exclusive in categories. But I think for this market and for my product, it worked out really well. So the future, we're going to take a break in June and let people catch up on all the content. And I'm going home for the summer with my kids. And I'm going to use that time to recalibrate and to plan for a big launch in the fall when all the expats come back to China.
So hopefully some listeners today can catch up on your shows and catch up after the summer holiday. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what happens and how it keeps progressing. So I guess it's pretty obvious, but it's limitlesslaowai.com. But maybe you can also just, you know, give us a plug on how people can find you.
Yeah. So limitlesslaowai.com, L-A-O-W-A-I. And Laowai, if you're not familiar, means foreigner. It's a little bit of alliteration on that one. I always get a smile when I say the name of the company. And Yeah, we're available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and you can always stream from our website as well. I would definitely send me an email too. I would love to connect with you guys.
Okay, great.
We'll link those up on the show notes. And thanks again, Allie. I'm really, really glad to meet you here in Shanghai.
It was my pleasure, Mike. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
That's a wrap. Thanks, Allie, for coming on and sharing. It was great to meet you in person and get this episode together. I hope people can enjoy your Limitless Laowai show. It's really great, and you have awesome guests, and you really motivate a lot of expats like me in China to keep pushing through even the tough times. So I'm glad we're both doing this and providing great content. Again, with China Business Cast, we're going to be talking about starting companies here in business, and there's definitely lots of opportunities to help each other with Limitless Laowai. So I'm looking forward to long-term cooperations. We're also on a mastermind together, and it's just really amazing building communities and helping everyone out. Also, for those that didn't listen last time, there's a free checklist about opening your company in China. You can go to chinabusinesscast.com/checklist and download that for free. Also, we always have our show notes for links and things mentioned at chinabusinesscast.com/episode21. So be sure to check that out, sign up for the newsletter, and find all the different information that we mentioned. So have a great day, and may I wish you all the best in your China business entrepreneurship. Bye-bye.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.